The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him so that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors, one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. Then his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in the dealings with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Jesus says to us today, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes." Wait, who said that? Is this the word of Jesus? Make yourself friends by means of dishonest wealth? Like, the Jesus said this? Jesus H. Christ said this himself? By the way, if you didn't know, that is Jesus' real government name. It's on his driver's license and everything. Jesus Harold Christ. That's his full name. Yeah, I mean, it's in the Lord's Prayer. We say it every week. "Our Father, who art in heaven, Harold be thy name." Says it every week. You guys are surprised by this. Anyway, Pastor Dana was smart to not be here this Sunday. She took this one off. She knew there'd be some groaners. And it's another toughie, it seems, from our gospel. Make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth? What am I to do with a gospel like this? As ever, the parables of Jesus confound us. They force us to sit with it, to slow down, to repeat them, reread them, chew them over. And that is entirely the point. That's why Jesus taught in parables. Because if he came out and said, "This story is about showing compassion and love and dignity to all people, okay, here I go now," I think we would probably tune out. It wouldn't stick in our brains. It wouldn't pull at us, nag us. It wouldn't keep bringing us back with more questions. So we have to sit down and hear the word of God calling out to us once more. It wouldn't gather us back to this place week after week, Sunday after Sunday. What is this all about? What is this confounding parable? Well, I don't think this parable is about bashing the wealthy. I don't think the purpose of this text was to demonize those who have wealth. Our scriptures do address the rich, the pitfalls of pursuing a life of wealth, and how the love of money is the root of all evil. But this parable, if it's about wealth, it doesn't do a very good job of explaining why the shrewd manager initially acted in bad faith and how he had a change of heart and how that change of heart improved his relationship with money and the master's wealth. It would be easier, I think, to make this a sermon about the evils of loving money over God and placing our trust in material things, but sadly, the gospel is never that easy. So let's dig into the historical side a little bit of this text. In ancient Palestine, there was a complex socioeconomic relationship between landowner, steward, peasants, and merchants. The stewards were the managers of the landowner's various properties. They acted as middlemen between the landowner and the peasants who worked the land, and the merchants who supplied them with their goods. The steward's job was to make as much money as possible for their master. And the master didn't much care if the steward was skimming money off the top, so long as the cash kept flowing. In fact, the landowner anticipated and expected the stewards to artificially inflate prices here and there to benefit themselves, especially since charging interest is expressly forbidden in scriptures. The stewards, or the managers, had to get creative in their bookkeeping so that they could find ways to charge more for rent, charge more for goods and services. And in all of this, the merchants and the tenants, they found themselves in this position where they had very little to no power at all. There was no way of advocating for themselves. They had no agency at all. There was no option to give a bad Yelp review or some sort of phone line to call in, some hotline to complain. They were stuck. But the managers as well, they found themselves in a vulnerable position because if they were on the outs with the master, they were also kind of stuck. As the text reads this morning, the manager says to himself, "What do I do now that my master is taking my position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm too ashamed to beg." The disgraced manager knows that there's no other place of employment that they are likely to find after they're let go. He could read and write and keep books, but he had no other skills, so what was he to do? But you know that old manager was so smart and so slick that he thought up a lie and he thought it up quick. "I'll call in my tenants and my merchants one by one and I will reduce their debt, knowing that they may find kindness in his action and later show kindness to him when he finds himself out on the street with nowhere to go, nothing to eat." So when the manager hears of this deception, he isn't mad about the previously artificially inflated prices. He isn't mad at the manager then for slashing prices and eliminating potential revenue from his estates. He isn't even ashamed at the manager for only showing kindness when his back was against the ropes and he knew it would benefit him. No, instead, the master is pleased by all this deception. Which brings us to what I believe to be the true heart of today's gospel. This parable is not about the shrewd or the dishonest manager. It isn't even about money. I believe we are to see ourselves as the manager, sometimes acting selfishly, sometimes acting selflessly, but for selfish reasons, perhaps. Whether the manager is shrewd or dishonest or selfless or selfish, it's really not the point. Just like the parable of the prodigal son, the story really isn't about the son. Just like the parable of the lost sheep, the story is not about the sheep. In this parable, we are to see the actions of the master, because the actions of the master are the ones where we see the heart of God revealed. In this parable, the master is the one whose wealth has been squandered, played with, manipulated, but the master doesn't keep record books. The master doesn't check the ledger. The master is ready to squander it all for the sake of forgiveness. He says, "Make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth." And this dishonest wealth is the love and grace of God, given freely to all of us with no merit of our own. We have been given an overabundance of dishonest wealth. That is love and grace and faithfulness of God. We are called to then live and act into this grace and faithfulness. And through this parable, God shows us that God, the master, is willing to squander it all, give up grace and abundance in abundance, forgiveness in abundance to all people, even those that have done nothing to deserve it, like ourselves. So we are to live and love like God, our master, like Jesus, our shepherd and our guide, making friends by means of dishonest wealth, sharing what we have been given with all that we encounter. In place of our worldly systems, where we are told that scarcity, competition, theft, and losses are just part of the game, Jesus proclaims a new way. The new society of the kingdom of God is a seemingly paradoxical system, one in which the more is shared out, the more abundant the resource becomes. One in which the more you give away, the more you have for yourself. The more you offer freely the gifts of grace, mercy, and compassion, the more you build up what Jesus calls true riches. The more we are reckless and careless with our love and faithfulness to our neighbor, the more the love of God grows and grows, and the more God calls us shrewd and wise. In our sermon series this season, we are exploring the ELCA's vision and purpose statement. Today, we are exploring dignity, compassion, and justice. And it states, each person is created in God's image, and we respect this God-given right to dignity, and inspired by the life of Jesus, show love and compassion for all people through proclamation of the gospel, through worship, and as servants of God, working for healing and justice in the world, we uphold and seek to protect the dignity and human rights of all people. If I would have told you on Monday that there could not have been a worse reading for this Sunday than the dishonest manager. But I had misunderstood what this parable meant. I had thought that this was one about demonizing wealth and placing trust in worldly possessions, but now I don't think there is a better parable about showing love, compassion, and seeking justice for our neighbor. Because if we understand that each person as a child of God, created in God's image, like Alexander, Matthias, who is here to be baptized this morning, called and claimed as a child of God, if we understand each person to be a reflection of the divine, like each child, then we must be shrewd with the resource that God has entrusted to us. And the best way to be shrewd with what has been entrusted to us is to give it away with reckless abandon, as Jesus did for us first upon the cross, making friends with all people by means of dishonest wealth, the daily forgiveness, love, and grace that God has heaped upon us. We are to then do the same for our neighbor in need. Yes, everyone. Yes, even that person you are thinking of in your head that you just can't stand. Hold them in your mind and say to them right now, I forgive you. And see how this changes the record book of your mind. See how this changes the ledger of your soul. We are the dishonest manager, white-knuckling our lives, trying to best keep a record of rights and wrongs, trying our best to look good before the master, but the only way forward, the only way to be shrewd is to let go of it all and forgive, as God forgives us so recklessly. What if, as a community of faith, we choose to offer forgiveness, love, and welcome to everyone without condition? What if we welcomed everyone to feed freely from the richness of Christ's table? What if we shared the joy and worship and fellowship and companionship outside the walls of this church? What if we became agents of love and mercy in our communities? What if we stopped worrying about what is safe and shrewd and prudent and started doing what is good? How would that change us? How would that change our church? How would that change the entire world? We are to give as Jesus gave, forgive as Jesus forgave, and to love as Jesus loves us. Above all worldly requirements, seek dignity, compassion, and justice for all people. For Jesus, loving God and your neighbor is the soundest of investments possible. Everything else passes away, but this love will never end. Thanks be to God. Amen.